that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do this, do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand. You see, the work of Christ was to help repair our lives. That's the whole purpose. He gave us a way out. He gave us a way to get out of the curse of sin and death, the mistakes that humans made. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Third name we look at is Kadmiel. And it literally means the presence of God or the Spirit of God. You've got to have Jesus in your life. You've got to allow Jesus to begin to repair and work on us. And all of us, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have things that need to be repaired. We all have things that need to be worked on. Just because you've been coming to church and living for God all of your life or for part of your life doesn't mean you've got it all figured out. Sometimes we got to work on our attitudes. Sometimes we've got to work on how we approach a situation. Hey, don't bite people's head off every time you turn around. Don't go out the door and look at them and smile and then go out the door and start bad-mouthing them. Those are things we have to work on. Amen. We all have to work on that. Amen. We all have. So thirdly, it's the Kadmiel, the presence or the Spirit of God. If you are here this morning and you can still feel the presence of God, you better be thankful. You better be thankful. We are living in a world. They don't want to feel the presence of God. I went by, I was in Beaumont. There was a store there. And on my way back the other day, and had run over for some errands, and there was a line outside of this store, and I said, it's not Black Friday. And they said, oh, yeah, sure it is. We're just early. I said, well, you're very early. I went in, I asked the guy, I said, what are they waiting for? Oh, they're releasing this game box called Xbox One or something. I said, there's like 30 of them sitting out there. Are you serious? Yeah, we released it at midnight. Try to get them in church on a Sunday morning at 10:30 for a worship service. Just saying, you know. That's what was important to them. That's what they were feeling. They were, one of them said, man, we just grooving. I said, yeah, you grooving all right. You know what was funny? They weren't 15, 16-year-old kids. They were 38, 28. They were my age. I'm like, whoa, don't you work? Yeah, work at getting an Xbox One. Anyway, I'm sorry. But if you still feel the presence of God, you should be thankful. That's a big deal now. There are many people who have gotten so far from the Lord and so distracted by other things in life that they just wish that they could feel the presence of God. There's something special about still being able to feel the presence of God in your life. That's why before every sermon I ever speak, I pray, God, open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Give us a desire to live for you. Because I want the Word of God to come in, whether I'm speaking or Brother Baggett, Brother Baggett, whoever speaks, I want God to be able to come in my heart and work on the things in me that need to be worked on. And make me, I want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. I miss the days where I'd walk in a prayer room and the old ladies would be over in the corner crying and praying and weeping and travailing to God, saying, oh God, I've got to have you in this situation. They wouldn't stop until they got an answer. Where is that now? Thanksgiving with the Levites. thanksgiving with the Levites. Let's look at a few people in the Bible just very, very quickly who lost the presence of God and tried to find it. Who maybe one time they were in the presence, but then it went away. You'd be surprised at some of the names. Quickly, Genesis 3 and 8, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Genesis 4 and 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. Genesis 28 and 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. God, let us know, let us have that feeling just to know that you're here. Jonah 1 and 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Judges 16 and 20, Samson, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Yeah. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. 1 Samuel 16 and 14, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You remember a man by the name, he was a priest by the name of Zedekiah? He didn't know that it had left him, but if you look at 1 Kings 22 and 24, but Zedekiah the son of Chenah went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go in an inner chamber to hide thyself. You know, we know. We know, we have it in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh God, help us to feel your presence like never before. Help us to be sensitive to your presence like never before. Amen. If you no longer feel his Spirit, then you have no liberty. If you can still feel him, then you better be thankful. Be thankful at his presence. And if you can't, maybe it's been a long time. You know what? All you have to do is say, God, if there's anything between us, if there's anything holding me back, wash me, cleanse me, make me new again. Lord, I want to feel your presence all over again in my life. I want that relationship, that love relationship, that mercy and peace and joy in my life. Fourth, Sherebiah. It actually means the fire God. And number five, Judah, to praise the Lord is what that means. I'm going to preach and talk about these two together because it is significant that one is listed before the other. The order of this matters. It's significant. There is a perfect process to everything in the house of God, in the plan of God. So I'm going to talk about these two. You know, you could preach about this. I could preach about, anybody could get up here and preach about praise for 3 or 4 hours. Praise, praise, praise. We got to praise. And everybody run and shout and holler and scream. But before praise comes, the fire. The fire. Let me explain why you should be thankful for the fire. The word fire is mentioned over 549 times in the Bible, and it is figurative for many, many different examples and many different things. Fire was a symbol of the Lord's presence and the instrument of his power, either in the way of approval or destruction. Amen. You've got to have the fire. God is compared to fire not only because of his glorious brightness, but on account of his anger against sin, which consumes sinners as fire does stubble or trash. Amen. Fire is illustrative of the church's overcoming of her enemies. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the zeal of saints and of angels, of lust and of wickedness and of tongues and the hope of hypocrites and persecution and of judgment. All of these things, and I have scripture for every one of them, they are all represented by fire. You've got to have the fire. But to be more specific, the Hebrew name, Sherebiah, the fire god, would refer to what the prophet Malachi wrote in Malachi 3 and 2, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like refiner's fire, refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Here the word of God speaks of refiner's fire. A refiner was a metalsmith who reduced metal to its simplest and purest form. And he would use a crucible and a furnace, and he would take the bagpipe, blowpipes, and bellows, and the refiner's only concern with the metal was getting the gold and the silver at its most purest, best form. That's what his job was, to refine it in the fire, to purge all of the imperfections, all of the uncleanness, all of the metals and other things that he did not want to have in the gold or the silver. It was actually called the dross. D-R-O-S-S. And the dross was the contaminated impurity in the metal. That's what that word means. And it was a defilement which had to be burned out. You couldn't make a precious ornament of gold with the bad stuff in it. You had to have pure gold. And he would literally put this metal into the crucible and put it into the furnace. And with his eye, he would watch the metal and he would get it so shiny and bright until he could actually see his reflection glowing in the mass. And he knew that the dross was completely removed at this point. And you don't need to curse fire. Maybe you've been going through some things in your life and it's been some troubles and some trials, and you've been living for God now, and you've started coming to church, and you started paying your tithes, and you started living right. You started reading your Bible, and you started having prayer in your home, but then all of a sudden, trouble, flat tire, wreck, arguing, and family fighting, and confusion. Let God just bring you through that furnace and that fire. Just begin to burn all of that stuff away. Don't give up on God at that point. He's testing you and trying you and making you stronger. You know a Damascus steel, a Damascus blade, have you ever heard of that? It's strong. It's some tough stuff. They take that metal and they heat it and they begin to bend it and pound it. Puts it back in the fire, begins it and pound. That's what's happening to you. Don't give up on God. Don't quit God just because troubles come. Fight all the harder, stand all the more. Say, God, I thank you for bringing me through this. I'm going to make it. You thought you were going to be consumed, but you're not going to be consumed. You're not going to be burned up. The refiner knows how bad that you need to reflect not your image anymore, not your way anymore, not your ideas anymore, but his ways and his ideas and his. You've got to get that reflective asset in you where you're not reflecting yourself. Well, me. Look at me. No, look at Jesus. Look who Jesus is. Look what Jesus has done. Look what God can do for you. He's done it for me. He can do it for you. Amen. So God takes us through the fire so that we can praise him all the more. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, Judah, and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's why we're going through some of the stuff we're going through. Sir, ma'am, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Don't give up on God. Don't doubt your faith. Doubt your doubt. Hallelujah. Some folks want to praise him without the fire. And that's fine. But that still means there's some impurities in there. You got to have the fire. Be thankful that you went through the fire, for it's the birthing place, of the making and molding place. I wouldn't wish on anybody to live through some of the junk I've lived through, but it's the junk that I've lived through that's made me the man and the person that I am today. Amen. So don't look at your problems and issues with hate and being upset. Be thankful. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a lot better. And then fifthly, Mattaniah, the gift of God. The gift of God. If there's anything we should be thankful for, it should be the gift of God. Acts 2. Brother Brian, you can come to the keyboard. Acts 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy 4 and 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of presbytery. 2 Timothy 1 and 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for His gift. We have something to be thankful for. Amen. The one who saves, Jesus. The one who makes repair, Jesus. The presence or the Spirit of God. The fire of God. Once you go through the fire, you'll be able to praise Him like never before. And finally, the gift of God. Gift of God. The gift of God. It's more than just receiving the gift of God and, oh, you've punched your ticket, you've made it. There's more to it than that. You've got to receive the gift of God, but then you've got to begin to walk and live by the light of truth that God has revealed unto you and shown you. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. It doesn't say, Brother Baggett, you study for me. It doesn't say, Brother Giot, you just do it for me. No, it says, study to show thyself. Amen. We've got to have Jesus in our lives. Are you thankful this morning? This Thanksgiving, I challenge you this week. I know it's coming up this week. Be thankful. Not just the normal, hey, thank you, Jesus. Be thankful for the little things. Stop and tell somebody. Maybe they're your employee or your employer. Hey, thank you for working so hard. Thank you for this job. Thank you for this opportunity. Hallelujah. If you'd stand all over the building. We have a lot to be thankful for. It says in that scripture that I read that the Levites were in charge of thanksgiving, meaning they were in charge of the rotating shifts of singing thankful hymns to God, having the psalms of thanksgiving sung in the tabernacle. That's what they were in charge of. I begin to wonder what that word thanksgiving in the Hebrew language meant. And in the Hebrew, thanksgiving in this scripture is hoidal. H, maybe you pronounce it different. H-U-Y-D-O. Two words, D-O-W-T. That's the word. Do you know what it means? Shout. Shout. I don't mean like shout. I mean like shout with your voice. They would sing praises of thanksgiving in a shout. They wanted everybody to hear the thanksgiving. Let somebody around you know that you're thankful this week, this year. I challenge you. Stop living in the mullet grubs. Amen, amen, amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I woke up this morning singing this song before we pray. We're going to sing this song.